Have you ever wondered what God is like? At one time, Moses wanted to be able to see God, at least to be able to see the glory of God, which is the same thing. If you can see the glory of God, you certainly get a view of God. Okay, let's set the scene as to when all this happened. This all happened a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. No, it was quite a while ago. It was 3,500 years ago, and it was on the other side of the world. It was in that bit of land between Israel and Egypt today. And not long before, the Israelites had been slaves in the land of Egypt, and God had sent Moses to tell Pharaoh, "Let my people go," and then he freed them and led them to the promised land. There's about 2 million of them, and they haven't yet reached the promised land. They're still in the desert, and they're camped at the foot of a very large mountain called Mount Sinai. I think we have a quick picture there, number one. So here you can see what it must look like. So you've got all the tents of the Israelites all around the mountain, and behind the mountain, here in the middle, you've got the place where they used to go and worship, and this is the mountain that Moses used to go up in order to hear God's voice. And God had all the people gathered around the foot of Mount Sinai, and he had them there because he wanted to teach them. Before they got to the promised land, God had a bit of educating to do. And so God spoke to them in an audible voice from out of the mountain, the Ten Commandments. That's what we've just been looking at. That's where they first heard the Ten Commandments. They heard them spoken by the voice of God. And they were all there because they had lots of things to learn. Moses also learned something else. He learned that it is not easy leading 2 million people. You who are parents, who lead one or two or three or four or five or six, well, no, it's not easy leading one or two or three or four or five or six. Think if you had 2 million. Now, that's because these 2 million were continually complaining. They kept on, you know, when anything went wrong, you blame the leader, so they always blame Moses, and he was finding it just a bit wearing. And then worst of all, when Moses had gone away for 6 weeks, the people had turned to worshipping idols. And God would have destroyed them then and there, except Moses had poured out his heart and pleaded that God wouldn't destroy them. So by now, Moses is tired. He has had it. He's had it up to here with 2 million people. And he doesn't want this job. He realises that being a leader isn't all that it's cracked up to be. But if he is going to take on this job that God wants him to do, then he really wants to know a bit more about who he is working for. He really wants to know what God is like. Didn't have a Bible. None of the Bible had been written then. And he really wants to know what God is like. Well, to use the language that's used here, he wants to know the name of God. He wants to know the name of God. That means it's something a little bit different from what we think of today. Nowadays, names don't mean a lot. For example, the name Ken means handsome. I'm noting who laughed. I suppose you laugh because not all Kens are as handsome as Barbie's boyfriend. The name Michael means like God. The name Martin, unfortunately Martin couldn't be here tonight, means warlike. Names aren't really used to describe what people are like today. They might describe what mothers hope their children would grow up to be like, but lots of mothers, I think, get disappointed. But in Bible times, the name, that expression, the name, meant telling you what that person is like, what he is really like. If you look here in our reading in chapter 23 and verse 33 and verse 12, right, Moses said to God, "See, you say to me, bring up this people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. Yet you have said," God has said to Moses, "I know you by name." You get the same thing over in verse 17. "The Lord said to Moses, I will also do this thing that you have spoken, for you have found grace in my sight, and I know you by name. And that means that God knew all about Moses. It doesn't mean that he knew his name was Moses. Everyone knew his name was Moses. But it means that God knew all about what Moses was like. And so when Moses says to God, down in verse 18, please show me your glory, and God replies, I will make all my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. I will tell you my name. What God is saying is, look, I'm going to tell you all about what I'm like. That's what he's promising to Moses. So I want you to think about that. Without thinking of what your answer is that you learned in Sunday school, what is, say, one thing that you think about if I asked you, what is God like? What would you say? What comes to mind? Just one thing. This is not a rhetorical, this is a question that demands an answer. What comes to mind? What is God like? One thing. Loving.
Holy.
Holy. Sorry? What? I missed that one. Merciful, sorry. Yes, merciful.
Forgiving.
Okay, so they're things that come to mind when I say God, one thing that comes to mind. I'm going to give you a couple of pictures now as to how some people imagine what God is like. I want you to look at these pictures and then tell me, what do you think those who think about God this way are thinking that God is like? I'm going to say that again because you didn't get it, did you? I'm going to ask you to look at these pictures and tell me, what do you think those who think God is like this are thinking God is like? Are we right? Okay, let's have a look at the first picture. If people think of God like that, what are they thinking of?
Powerful.
That sort of springs to mind, doesn't it? Hurling thunderbolts to the earth and so on.
A warrior
or a powerful God. Now, if you think of God just like that, say nothing else, if you think of God just like that, how do you feel?
Scared,
okay? That would be my instant reaction. There's another way. Once people get over their scaredness, the other way they feel is, wow, God can do whatever I want. He is all-powerful. And in fact, if you go around the world to religions that basically see God as like this and nothing else, that's basically what their religion is about. It is about God's power. They try and manipulate their God to get them whatever they want. He's a powerful God, he can give me good crops. He's a powerful God, he can give me lots of children. He's a powerful God, he can give me lots of money. Those that think of God like this often focus on what they can get from a God like this once they get over their scaredness. Now, is it true? Is God a powerful God?
Yes.
He is a powerful God, isn't he? If you go back to chapter 32 and verse 11, here is Moses pleading with God to spare the Israelites who had sinned. And Moses pleaded with the Lord his God this way and said, Lord, why does your wrath burn hot against your people, whom you have brought out of the land of Egypt with great power and a mighty hand? So yes, it's true, God is a powerful God. But while that is true, I wonder if that's the way, or if that's what God is going to focus on when he describes himself to Moses. Let's try another one. The next picture. Those that have this sort of image in their mind as to this is what God is like, what are they thinking he is like?
Wise.
Yes, that strikes me too. He looks very wise. And if you think of God as just wise, and maybe nothing else, how do you feel? Say, compared to the last one. You might feel insecure. What if you're not worried about the power of God, but he just is like this? Harmless, yeah. Nice, wise old man who is pretty harmless but knows everything. So you feel a bit more secure than the last one. And you probably think, good, if he is so wise, he can give me wisdom, he can give me all the answers to life. And again, if you go around the world, you'll find religions where basically their idea of God is just that he is wisdom, he is wise, and that's about all they think of. They just think God is this wonderfully wise, super wise person, and they think that, okay, as long as God is like this, he can give me all the answers and I can be really smart. Is it true? Is God a wise God? He is a wise God, isn't he? In fact, in more than one place, the Bible describes God as the one who alone is wise. In other words, God's wisdom is so great that he alone appears to be wise. We all appear like dummies because God is so wise, his wisdom is so great. But again, while that is true, I wonder if that is what God will focus on when he describes himself to Moses. Let's have a look at how God describes himself. When Moses asked to see God's glory, and God responds by saying, I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. I'm going to tell you what I am like. This is what I'm going to focus on. How does God describe himself there in chapter 33 and verse 19? What are the things that jump out at you in chapter 33 and verse 19? Now that's little mark. The edge is a 9, which means 19. Thank you. What are the things that describe God there? Goodness. Grace. Mercy. Okay, so there are three things that describe God there. In fact, there are two things that we learn about God there. The first is this, because God says, I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. And I will be merciful, or have compassion, is it? I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. What is that telling you? Sorry? Okay, not everyone receives God's grace and compassion, and God makes the decision. God's the one in control. In other words, no one is telling God what to do. He decides what he's going to do. He is the one who's ultimately in control. So that's actually one of the things that verse teaches us. But the other thing is that when God describes himself like this, he uses those words, goodness and gracious and compassion. So we'll just think about that for a minute. Let's go to chapter 34, and in verse 5, the Lord descended in the clouds, so this is up the top of the mountain, if you remember the mountain, and he stood with Moses there, and it says he proclaimed the name of the Lord. So he said, Moses, I'm going to tell you what I'm like. You're going to know my name. You're going to find out what I'm like. And in verses 6 and 7, good. So what have we got from those verses? Thank you. You can use adjectives, nouns, I don't care. Merciful.
Gracious.
Gracious. Yes, long-suffering. Thank you, Peter, for confusing us there. Yes.
Just.
I'm sure that's right. Where do we get that? Okay, so just, so he punishes sin. And Michael, you had
goodness,
truth. The idea of truth is probably more the idea of faithfulness, being faithful in relationships, and merciful and forgiving. Okay, so let's put those up. That's in the fourth picture. So we've got merciful, gracious, long-suffering, goodness, truth, which is basically faithfulness, mercy, forgiving, punishing sin. That's how God described himself when he proclaimed the name of the Lord. So he's saying to Moses, look, if you want to think about me, this is what I want you to think about. So what do we notice there? Three things. First of all, God does not mention wisdom or power. Now, obviously, God is a wonderfully wise God, and he's an infinitely powerful God. And even when you look at these things, you know he's wonderfully wise and wonderfully powerful. I mean, you think about mercy. I mean, it takes a lot of wisdom to think when to show mercy, how much mercy to show a person, how to forgive a person, when to punish. It takes wisdom to work all that out. It obviously takes a lot of power. It takes power to punish sin. It takes even more power to forgive sin. That's the way the psalmist puts it. He says, there is forgiveness with you that you may be feared. The psalmist was more fearful of the fact that this is a forgiving God, because that took more power than actually punishing sin. So, yes, even these things mean that God must be wonderfully wise and wonderfully powerful, but he doesn't actually mention his wisdom or his power when he proclaims his name. These are not what God wanted Moses to focus on first and foremost when he thought about what he is like. They were not his glory. That's the first thing. Second thing, if you look through that, all of those things have to do with relationships. Power is not about relationships, well, apart from being able to control someone, but it's not about forming relationships, probably more about destroying them. And even wisdom, at least the way the world understands wisdom, is not necessarily about relationships. But these all are. These are all about how God relates to us and how we relate to God. And so when we think about God, we should also be thinking about not just God out there, but how God actually relates to us. That's the second thing. The third thing, and most importantly, these are all about right and wrong. Our God is especially concerned about right and wrong. He's more concerned about right and wrong than about power and wisdom. I mean, you think about those. God is concerned to punish sin. That shows that he's concerned about right and wrong. He's concerned to punish what's wrong. It says God is a God of mercy who forgives. Forgives what? According to what it says there in verse 7, he forgives iniquity, transgression, and sin. So again, he's talking about right and wrong. God is a God of truth or faithfulness. What is faithfulness? Faithfulness is about behaving in the right way in a relationship that you're in. God is a God of goodness. A good person does the right thing. God is a God of long-suffering. What is long-suffering? It means putting up with the person when he's doing the wrong thing. You see, all those are really about right and wrong. God is especially concerned about right and wrong. And before ever you think of God being a God of great power, which he certainly is, or God being a wonderfully wise God, which he certainly is, first and foremost, know that God is a God who's really concerned about right and wrong. That is his name. That is what especially he is like. The Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, "The Lord, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abounding in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, but by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and the children's children to the third and the fourth generation." God is a God of mercy who's ready to forgive, but he's also a God that is very exact in punishing sin. Which raises the question, how can that be? How can a God who is especially like this, a God who loves what is right and hates what is wrong, how can a God like that show any mercy when we sin? How could he ever forgive sin? And in any case, there are some that he does not forgive, because it says here that he will by no means clear the guilty, but he visits the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and the children's children to the third and fourth generation. But how does he decide what to forgive, what not to forgive? And this is where you find out more about what God is like than in anything else. And that is in the cross of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, as we heard today, is the Son of God. God sent his own Son to be punished in the place of sinners when he died upon the cross. God is a God who hates what is wrong. He hates sin. He's a God who always punishes sin. But for those who put their faith in Jesus Christ, He punishes Jesus Christ instead of us for our sin. And all of that comes together when you think about that. God is a God of mercy. In the cross, he shows mercy. He forgives us. But he still punishes our sin. If we put our faith in Jesus Christ, he punishes Jesus Christ for our sin. If you don't put your faith in Jesus Christ, there is no other option. God will punish you for your sin. No other way. So you want to know what God is like? You want to know his name? Then you look at the cross that Jesus died on. Because on the cross, you see all the most important things about what God is like. You see, by the way, also the power of God and the wisdom of God. But you certainly see all these things that God revealed to Moses. In the cross, you see that God is merciful. He has mercy on sinners like you and me. And God is gracious. Gracious means that he is kind to those who don't deserve it. And God is kind to us that don't deserve it in the cross. And God is long-suffering. He doesn't punish us for our sin as soon as we sin, but he gives us time to repent and to turn to him. And God is good. And God is faithful. He promises that if we turn to him with faith in Jesus, he will keep his promise and forgive us. And God is forgiving. He forgives sin. But God is also just. And he must punish sin. And he will punish sin. He will punish your sin. Either in Jesus Christ, if you have faith in him, or in you, if you don't have faith in Christ. So look at the cross. Because in the cross you see everything that God is like.